Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is John Riches, and I represent appellant the Goldwater Institute. I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Watch the clock.
Thank you, Your Honor. The purpose of the Freedom of Information Act is to open up government functions so that the public can know what our government is up to. And of course, the drug approval process in the United States is one of the most critical functions that the federal government performs. So in 2014, when a deadly Ebola outbreak in West Africa infected thousands of patients, including several Americans, the FDA made one drug called ZMapp available in what appeared to be an exceptionally quick timetable, something that didn't look anything like the normal approval process at the FDA. So the Goldwater Institute submitted a FOIA request seeking to know how the drug approval process worked in this case. I think it's important to note that the Institute did not seek any commercial information. The Institute did not seek any financial information. The Institute didn't seek any information whatsoever about private parties.
So I want to try to understand the record in this case. The agency asserted as to some of the information you're seeking, exemptions 4, 5, and 6, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
The district court, I'm not sure it delineated the precise documents or information it was applicable to, but it found that the information sought was subject to those three exemptions, 4, 5, and 6.
Not so much. So there was 3 separate rounds of summary judgment briefing in the district court. In the second round of summary judgment, the court addressed exemptions 5 and 6. In the third round,
it was exemption 4.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you're not challenging the district court's rulings on 5 and 6?
No, we're not, Your Honor.
Okay. So that leads me to this question. Are there some documents to which only exemption 4 is being asserted?
Yes, Your Honor, and in fact...
How many of them are there?
The vast majority in all the documents... vast majority of the documents at issue in this case. I do have the line numbers, if it's helpful.
Well, no, because in reviewing the record, it seemed to me that as to the great majority of them, 5 and 6 had also been asserted. And so I'm trying to figure out how many documents are actually at issue.
At issue in this case, there's about 57, I believe, is the correct number.
A number that are capable of review.
Yes, Your Honor, absolutely.
We're not dealing with thousands of documents. Okay. So as to the documents only covered by 4, it seems to me that there are 2 questions, and I want you to address each of them for me. The first one is whether the district court, without examining them separately, just held as a matter of law they were subject to exemption 4. And then second, since we don't know the answer if they were actually looked at, the issue of segregability. Could you address those each for us?
Absolutely, Your Honor. I think those are the exact correct questions. The first issue is that the FDA didn't even claim exemption 4 for a large number of these records. It just said that they were non-responsive. And what the FDA essentially argued was that anything that relates to an investigational new drug application, anything that relates to the application, whether it involves private information or information about government functions, is part of the entire file, and the agency thinks that agency regulations exempt everything in the file.
Well, it's a little unfair characterization. What the agency said was, we regard the entire file as subject to exemption 4.
That's correct.
Even if maybe one document in it taken in isolation might not contain what I would call exemption 4 information, commercial or...
I think that's fair, Your Honor, but of course the agency can't do that. The agency can't just define file in a way that it sees fit if that definition doesn't align with the statutory criteria for exemption 4. And that's exactly what happened here. There's, of course, it's axiomatic that only Congress can decide what is and what is not exempt information, regardless of how the agency chooses to keep its files, whatever those are. So there's whole categories of records here that do not meet the 3 very clear conjunctives.
But the truth is, we don't know, do we?
Well,
in other words, all we have is a Vaughan index. folks.
It is a, Your Honor, it is a function of the FOIA, of course, that the requester is at a disadvantage because he or she doesn't have all of the records in front of him or her. That is true. But the court did, in this case, order two separate, extremely detailed Vaughn indices. And from those indices, I'll just give you an example.
I take your point. From the indices, there are documents, records, that appear not to contain what I would call exemption for information. It may well turn out that if the district court looks at them, they do. But that's not the question in front of us. The question in front of us is, can the agency, in effect, say, look, everything in this file is bound up in exemption four, because it's a, after all, it's a drug approval application, so it's going to have in it commercially sensitive information, and we just don't want to have to parse it.
That is the preliminary question, and our answer to that question is no, Your Honor, they cannot do that. They can't just deem these records are part of the file, these records are not part of the file, and of course, in this case, they said everything is part of the file, and it is per se exempt under four. What the FOIA requires is that the agency look at all the information and then determine whether it meets the statutory criteria for exemption four, which the agency didn't do. They just categorically said it was exempt. And that was the first point of error from the district court. The court, having accepted this argument that anything that relates to the file is exempt, I think it would have been one thing if the court had said, look, some of these information that's pretty clearly from the Vaughn Index, is government function type information. Okay, that's separate. Anything that discusses something that would look more like exemption for information, something like a drug formula, safety, efficacy data, anything that discussed that, if a government agent discussed that, that would be a different question. Instead, the district court just applied a per se blanket exemption, which of course would allow the agency in its sole and exclusive discretion to determine what is and is not going to be disclosed to the public, regardless of what the FOIA says, regardless of what exemption four says. And that would forge a Northwest Passage completely over the FOIA, allowing a regulatory agency to supersede Congress's express direction. So I think that's the first point of error. The second, Your Honor, is, so if the court, if this court were to accept that, well, it was okay for the district court to read into the FDA's arguments that exemption four applied, it just simply doesn't for the vast majority of records here. The first element, as the court is aware, is that records to fall within the sweep of exemption four must be obtained from a person outside the government. And the law is abundantly clear on that. The FDA tries to broaden this to say that, they don't have to be obtained from the government, they just have to relate to these investigational drugs. But that certainly can't be the case. For example, things such as the timing of the investigational drug application submission, whether staff was available to review the submission, the status of the submission, assigning a number to the submission, shipping and status information regarding whether a product for personal importation is going to be shipped at a particular time and a particular date. None of that was obtained from outside the government. None of that discusses information that was obtained from outside the government. That is plainly outside the sweep of Exemption 4. Secondly, Your Honor, and I think it's important to note, Exemption 4 are conjunctive requirements. The government has to prove, and the government has the burden of proving, that all three of the requirements for Exemption 4 apply. Outside the government, it was commercial information, and it was confidential information. They can't prove any of them, let alone all of them. To the second point, whether this was commercial or financial information. Again, the FDA reads its own regulations far too broadly and in direct contravention of the FOIA when it argues that all records that relate to investigational drug applications are commercial and financial.
Well, I'm sure they'll do this better than I, but let me make their argument for them in advance, see how you respond to it. It's that all information relating to the status of an application for a drug is commercially related because obviously competitors and others want to know how quickly this is moving along and how quickly they need to move along. I think that's a variant of what they argued. And again, I'll leave it to counsel to argue it better. What's your response to that?
We don't think that's the case, because even under the FDA's own regulations, it does a couple things. It divides situations in which the existence of an investigational new drug has been publicly disclosed, and in this case, that's not at issue. It's very clear that the existence of this application has been publicly disclosed. So the argument that the fact that it even exists...
No, it's the argument, I think, more nuanced is where it is in the process, which might be disclosed by some things in this file, is confidential information.
We would still have to ask the three Exemption 4 questions, and the government would still have to prove that each of the...
Might it be confidential information under 5, or might it be exempt under 5 or 6?
It could potentially, although probably not. Well, some of the records might be under 5 or 6, but for the records that are at issue here, the agency only claimed Exemption 4, or the district court read Exemption 4 into the agency's non-response. So I think the 5 or 6 questions are not at issue in this appeal. So I think you would still have to ask. So if they say, well, the whole file and what process stage of the process is in is Exemption 4, well, then I think you'd still have to ask, is it actually true, though, that how long it takes the agency to process a particular file, whether the agency followed its own rules, whether the agency applied its own regulations in assessing this information, can that really be, one, information that's obtained outside the government? No. Can it really be commercial or financial? The FDA has its own definition of commercial and financial, which it appears to have abandoned in this case, and that's set out at 21 CFR 2061. According to the FDA itself, information has to be both commercially valuable and the end product of innovation or substantial efforts to be commercial information. Kind of hard to imagine a world in which the FDA's timing, assigning an IND number, what time it shipped a package is commercially valuable or the end product of innovation. So it clearly doesn't satisfy prong two of the Exemption 4 criteria either. And then lastly, Your Honor, of course it has to be confidential information. I think this is important because the U.S. Supreme Court just opined in Food Market Institute just last year what confidential information is. And it's got to be something that is customarily and actually treated as private, for which a private party has received an assurance of privacy from the government. So there's two components to that. Private parties, of course, have no customary expectation of government processes and procedures, and it must be provided to the government. That's the entire purpose of Exemption 4, which is an important, laudable exemption. It's meant to, of course, protect confidential commercial information of private parties so that information can't be exploited, perhaps by competitors. It was never intended to protect information about routine government functions and processes in which the public has a much higher right to know.
I note that you wanted to save a couple of minutes for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor.
This is a good time.
Thank you.
Ms. Carroll.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Sarah Carroll on behalf of the government. First, just to clarify the sort of procedural question you were asking towards the beginning, Judge Hurwitz, I understand the Goldwater Institute to be seeking 58 emails at this stage, and by my count, as to 29 of those emails, FDA invoked Exemption 5 and or Exemption 6 in addition to Exemption 4.
Yeah, and that's
4.
Why I asked the question, because if they're not challenging the rulings on Exemption 5 and 6, well, let me ask it differently. Did the judge hold that these emails were subject to 5 and 6?
The judge said, I think in fairly general terms, Exemption 5 applies, Exemption 6 applies, but of course Goldwater Institute now in footnote 2 of its reply brief has affirmatively waived any challenge to FDA's
invocation.
So
maybe we're talking, and the district court can sort that out if we have to go back to the district court. Under your view, we're talking about 30 documents.
Yes, that's right, but we think it's very important that... We think that all of the records at issue here are covered by Exemption 4, and we think that that protects incredibly important interests because in this unique context in which confidentiality interests are so broad and so acute, information about, you know, the stage that a drug is at in the approval process or things that might seem not particularly revelatory to, you know, my friend at the Goldwater Institute, an outside observer, can be of great importance.
This sounds a little bit, and I want to steal from Judge Miller's question in the last one, that might be a wise public policy But Congress in Exemption 4 says essentially commercial information received from somebody outside the agency.
Right.
So it doesn't strike me that everything in the file, some of the Vaughn descriptions seem to suggest, don't suggest that there's commercial information in them received from somebody outside the agency, but rather internal communications. So maybe Exemption 4 should cover those, but its language doesn't, does it?
I disagree, Your Honor. So I'll take the commercial prong and the obtained from a person.
Okay, and let's assume
separately.
We're talking now. You agree that some of these on the Vaughn Index appear to be internal communications within the agency?
They are. A number of them are not, but I'll put that aside.
Okay, so
as
focus
to the
on those and tell me
the
how
agency,
they can qualify for Exemption 4.
Okay, so the first threshold point is that Exemption 4 applies to information obtained from outside the government, not records obtained from outside the government. So, of course, an internal government record can be subject to Exemption 4 if it discusses or incorporates information.
Right, but your position is that everything in the file is per se subject to Exemption 4. So I can see a district judge looking and saying, this is an internal email, but it repeats confidential information obtained from outside, so maybe I have to segregate that or redact it.
In other words, that would take a document-by-document review, wouldn't it? Instead of just saying the regulation says the entire file is subject to Exemption 4.
In this unique context, I think the district court was correct to say that Exemption 4 applies to all of these records, which all of them reflect information.
You mean correct to say that without examining the documents in the file?
Well, it's well established in this court in decisions like Lyon Raisins that a district court does not need to do an in-camera review when it has a sufficiently specific Vaughn index. And my friend, you know, I think described the Vaughn indices here as extremely
detailed. But the district
court
didn't make a factual finding here. See, I understand those cases where the district court looks at the Vaughn index and says, look, this is obviously an Exemption 4 document. It's, you know, it's a description of the formula sent somebody to the outside to the agency. But on its face, documents exchanged inside the agency, email, on the face don't come from outside the agency. So now the question is, do they contain information that might be subject to Exemption 4? I'm not sure why you're merely saying that they must is a sufficient answer.
Well, so I think that this court's decision in Lyon Raisins is a helpful place to look on this. In that case, what was at issue was a FOIA request for USDA records of inspections that were conducted at raisin facilities. And this court held that Exemption 4 applied. The request there was fairly narrow. The requester wanted basic information from the forms, including the date and time of the inspection. And this court held that Exemption 4 applied specifically to the date and time of the inspection because the court noted that the time of the inspection could reflect the hours that were being worked by the people at these raisin factories, and the people at the raisin factories work longer hours sometimes when they have higher volumes, so that could allow competitors
to... It seems to me that case focused on the nature of the information and said that information must necessarily lead to secret commercial information, because if you knew that, you could then derive from it secret commercial information. Your position is that anything that you put in this file must necessarily meet that description without regard to the particular document.
So I want to be clear that we're not arguing here that FDA can just, you know, by fiat, put particular documents in a file and say that they're subject to Exemption 4. What we are saying is that...
But that's what your reg says. Your reg says the entire file is... Then it mirrors the language of Exemption 4.
The reg does say that FDA will not disclose records in the file, but here we are relying on Exemption 4. We're not saying that an agency could just promulgate a regulation and say...
Would you say here we're relying on Exemption 4? Is that what you just said?
Yes.
But the district court never made a straight Exemption 4 inquiry, did it?
The district court, I agree, Your Honor, that the district court did focus to some extent on FDA's regulations, but it said...
Well, some extent, like 90%.
It focused on the regulations, but the court did say that the regulations track the important interests that Exemption 4 protects. And I think the district court's opinions are best read as reflecting a determination that the regulations align with Exemption 4, and information that is within the scope of the regulations is within Exemption 4.
The other side of this coin, of course, is segregability, and obviously you can't make that determination without examining the documents. Now, did the subject of segregability come up in the district court, and how was that handled?
The subject of segregability did come up in the district court, and the district court said that no further analysis was required with respect to the records at issue, which I think is best read as reflecting the court's correct determination that the records at issue are subject to Exemption 4 in their entirety, and that thus, you know, by nature, there can be no reasonably segregable, non-exempt information.
This is repetitive, but made that determination without examining the documents. Maybe looked at the one index, but that was about it, right?
Right, that's true. Again, I would emphasize that this court has made clear that a district court doesn't have to look
right,
at the actual.
But you're not arguing that the Vaughan Index makes clear that all of these requested documents have confidential information. Indeed, when I look at the Vaughan Index, it seems to me some of them may not. What you're really arguing is that everything in this file, because it relates to this pending application, necessarily contains Exemption 4 information.
So the Vaughan Index, I think, does not say anything specific about segregability. I would note that in agency declarations at Supplemental ER 10 and 31, the agency did specifically say that any agency discussions of confidential information were inextricably intertwined with the confidential information.
And I tend to agree with that. I think that's probably a sensible position. But that the problem is we don't know whether those emails discuss confidential information. The Vaughan Index doesn't say discussion of the formula or discussion of the chemical analysis of the drug. It just says email between two agency employees. Normally, if a judge looked at it and said, well, they're talking about confidential information, I'd be fine. But I'm not sure why it necessarily involves confidential information.
This is an important point, and I think it's a point that you may have alluded to a little bit earlier a bit. In this particular context, where competition is so fierce and where innovation and secrecy are so critical, information far beyond, you know, the formula of a drug trigger very important and real confidentiality interests. So I think, as you, Judge Hurwitz, may have mentioned earlier, if I don't remember incorrectly, information, for example,
I was looking to you to make the argument better than I did.
Information about the potential timing of approval could raise very important confidentiality concerns. Information about, say, FDA's potential worries about a drug product could raise important confidentiality concerns.
Let me make up, and you don't have to tell me that's not the facts
sure.
in this case. I know they're not.
Right, right.
Let's assume that the secretary writes a letter to the investigators and says, the people who submitted this application are really big campaign contributors, and we'd like you to move it as fast as possible. Subject to Exemption 4 if it's in the file?
So I think there would be potentially other problems with that document.
Oh, yeah.
But
everybody go to jail. That's not the issue. The issue is that subject to Exemption 4?
I think it would be subject to Exemption 4 because that would very directly cast light on the likely potential timing of approval of
the drug.
How
is that commercial information obtained from a third party outside the government?
It's commercial information because it, you know, relates to commerce. That's the definition that this court has applied in cases like Carlson and Watkins. And again, it is obtained from a party in the sense that this court, I think, has applied Exemption 4 in cases like Lion Raisins, in the sense that it reflects information about the status of an application. And it's important to emphasize that although it's not true in this case, in many cases, perhaps most, I'm not sure, even the mere fact that that a drug company is seeking approval of a product is itself confidential. And I don't think anyone would dispute that.
Yeah, and I think if in this case this were still, the public didn't know that somebody was seeking, that this application was actually pending, you might have different arguments. But in this case, it's not the pendency of the application. Exemption 4 deals with confidential information obtained from outside the government. Or commercial information.
Right, but I think the fact that there are, I think everyone agrees, are such legitimate, strong confidentiality interests where the fact of the application has not been disclosed, I don't think that should change because, as here, this company, LeafBio, you know, agreed to cooperate to make its product available to people who are suffering from the Ebola virus in an emergency situation.
So let me give you another hypothetical email, okay. Less outrageous. A supervisor sends an email. Well, somebody sends an email to a supervisor that says, one of the people on this project is just not moving along as quickly as they should, and I would like you to replace him with somebody who I think will be more favorable to the application without any commercial information in it, protected by Exemption 4.
I think that that... I think in this unique context where, again, information that can seem trivial or it can seem not confidential to me or to someone who isn't intimately familiar with this industry the way that the FDA is, I think information, seemingly small pieces of information can be used by competitors in a way that harms companies
that have relied. That may be true, but the exemption isn't a trade secrets protection. The exemption says it has to be obtained from outside the government and involve commercially secret information. You all know what the...
Right,
the
right.
So how is that information obtained from outside the government?
Again,
it's purely about government operations.
But it reflects how the government is processing something very secret that a private party has given to it. I think it would cut out some of Exemption 4 if a court were to say, you know, a record is within Exemption 4 only if it contains, you know, basically copied and pasted information that a private party sent us. I think Exemption 4 has to apply more broadly to that, to records that, you know, permit inferences about. That's the language the D.C. Circuit used in Gulf and Western, that permits inferences about information obtained from a private party, reflects information obtained from a private party. And I think that would likely be satisfied there. And, of course, especially under the Supreme Court's recent clarification of the confidentiality requirement in Food Marketing Institute,
Could you address the D.C. Circuit's decision in Judicial Watch? Because the plaintiffs are relying on that for the proposition that you can't sort of categorically assert Exemption 4 as to everything in the file, and that there needs to be a more sort of granular showing with respect to each item as to which you're claiming the exemption. So what's your response to that?
Yes, Judge Miller. So Judicial Watch, if I recall the decision correctly, involved a drug that had already been approved by the FDA. I think their Judicial Watch filed a FOIA request for information from the new drug application for a sort of medical abortion pill that FDA had approved. And FDA recognizes, and we don't dispute, that confidentiality interests at that stage of the process are much different and in many ways sharply diminished. So the FDA's regulations, which are not dispositive here, it's Exemption 4 that matters, but FDA's regulations, 21 CFR 601.51E and I think also G, provide that a lot of information can become available once a product is approved for marketing. So Judicial Watch, I think, reflects that, you know, after a product is approved, it may well still be the case that Exemption 4 applies to some material within the file, but not to all of it, and we don't claim that it applies to all of it. But here, where a product has not yet been approved for marketing, the analysis is much different. I see that my time has expired. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I appreciate your argument, and thank you.
Thank you.
Just three minor points of clarification to Judge Hurwitz's question as to what records was only Exemption 4 claimed. 29 records that are at issue in this appeal only contain Exemption 4. 27, it's a little bit hard to discern from the Vaughn Index, but they claim both Exemption 4 and then either 5 or 6 as well. So, of course, our answer to that would be that anything involving Exemption 4 should be released.
Well, see, but I don't understand that. If the judge says three exemptions apply and you say no, only two do, you still don't get the documents.
I think, Judge, what would have to happen is that there would have to be a finding of segregability. So anything to which five or six.
You didn't make an argument as to five or six documents on appeal about segregability.
That is true, Your Honor. But it is our view that to the extent that the FDA is relying on its same argument with respect to Exemption 4, that would apply across the board to the records it withheld. Regarding that argument, just to be abundantly clear, we're glad to hear the government is now saying Exemption 4 is the only thing that matters because we agree with that position, but that was not their position below. There, they said the FDA treats every record related to the IND as part of the file, and then, of course, the court found that Exemption 4 extends to the IND file. The court further found because all legitimate IND contents content files are exempt, no further discussion is necessary. So I think that's the first and primary point of error, just that carte blanche application. I don't think this case is that terribly difficult. And Judge Hurwitz, again, you put your finger on it. If a record is discussing confidential commercial information, yes, that might be exempt. But I think it was pretty telling when we heard from the government when she said, well, these records could contain drug formulas. They could contain information about safety or efficacy data. That's not what the FOIA standard is. The standard is that they prove that it must meet commercially confidential obtained from outside the government, and they certainly haven't done that here. And with that, Your Honor, we'd ask that any record that the FDA has withheld and that the district court sustained an upholding of involving Exemption 4, those records be released in their entirety, and if necessary, it be remanded for a segregability finding of the remaining records.
Thank you. This case will be submitted.